Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis.
Present.
Mayor David Smith.
Present.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn is excused. Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom.
Present.
City staff, Richard Marsh, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Carrie Bagley, Finance Director, Andy Heratic, Public Works Director, Albert Echave, Police Chief, Alda Ordunio, City Attorney.
Thank you. For our invocation tonight, I'd like us all just to take a minute and reflect on all the wonderful people that have left us this last year and wish them a good journey. Thank you. Could we stand for the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Heratic?
Thank you, Mayor, Council. It's, I may say just on the onset, it's really a pleasure to be here with new members, Mayor and Council. It always brings new ideas and great excitement to the city of Bisbee, at least in my last 13 years it has. If I could please call Raul Hidalgo and ask him to come up. You have to stand out there, kind of. You kind of have to stand out here. You don't get to hide behind the podium. I had to trick him and not tell him until this morning he had to come in because I figured he'd try and find a way out of it. So there's a special presentation today we're doing, Raul. As I told you this morning, I waited till 7 o'clock to call you. And the new city manager and the department heads got together and they made a decision that we would start something new to honor our employees here at the city. So the city manager gave us about 4 weeks, and he said, everybody put in your name for who you think should be the employee of the month. And I forgot. I completely forgot. So it came up at a department head meeting, and your name came up, and that was the end of the conversation. I want you to know that every department head in the city just automatically said, oh, yeah, Raul. Everybody here had nothing but positive things to say about you and the person you are. And I just want you to know that you are part of Public Works, or your division of Public Works, and Raul is a part of a team of men and women who are continuously moving the city of Bisbee forward, always asking the question what's best for the city of Bisbee and the people who live in it, and that they have continually strived to push the city forward, make it a better, cleaner, more functioning place. I'm very proud of you, and I'm really proud that you're my employee.
Employee of the Month, awarded to Ronald Hidalgo, December 2016. Thanks for your hard work and dedication to the success of our city. Most of us that are out and about see Ronald everywhere. He's a hardworking guy, and we really do appreciate it. And it gives me pleasure to be the first guy that gets to give an Employee of the Month award. So, Ronald, let me give you this. Thank you.
Nice.
And a Visa gift card. All right. Spend it wisely. Yes, and Mr. Marsh.
Thank you, Mayor Andy and Raul, for being here. I just want to add one last thing, which is very important about this whole Employee of the Month selection, is that you notice there was a plaque, public recognition, a nice picture, but what's more important about this, the leadership team said we wanted to make sure that the selected employee felt that they were really appreciated and valued. So they set up an employee savings account whereby we could provide a $50 Visa gift card monthly to the selected Employee of the Month. But the interesting thing about it is each individual department head came out of their own pockets and put into the savings account monthly. So that's a wonderful thing, and the extraordinary staff we work with. So we ought to applaud the staff for doing that. That was really nice. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
My announcements. How many people have been to the library since the new stuff is in there? Isn't it incredible? And that's my announcement. Is I want to give a couple extraordinary service awards out. And so if I could have these people come up here and hold your applause, Jason McCutcheon. And Jason, of course, is the our teacher and instructor that has brought all this together. Thank you, sir. Is Errol here?
No.
None of them. Well, this makes it a lot better. Then let me give you these. Would you present those to your students on our behalf with our gratitude and thanks?
Thank you very much.
If you haven't been to the library, please do. The showing is beautiful. And there's a nice reading room now. So thank you so much for all of this.
Mayor, may I add to what you did? Okay. I just want to say it was great to see these kids in their uniforms, and they have the uniform that Mr. McCutcheon is wearing. So they all looked very professional, and as they were being recognized at the library, they did a terrific job in the reading room, and the bookstore looks fantastic. It is light and bright in there now, and with the uniform bookcases, it appears much larger than before, even though I know we didn't add any square footage. It's nice to know that these kids are now part of one of the oldest buildings in Bisbee and can certainly be proud of a job well done. However, it doesn't end there. Mr. McCutcheon has other students as well, and they are all doing fun projects daily. I'm by his wood shop at least 10 times every day, and I always pop my head in to see what they are working on because it constantly changes. The other day, I saw what I thought was a ginormous playpen, and lo and behold, it was a yurt they were building. How fun is that? They helped me paint my office last year. They have built really nice picnic tables that you can find all over campus. They redid the metal and wood benches from the Warren Ballpark. They renovated part of the culinary arts room, and that's just to name a few of their projects. The point being that these kids are learning lifelong skills that they will have with them forever, skills that they can go directly into the workforce or help them with their own home projects. Mr. McCutcheon does a great job with his kids and should be very proud of the influence he has on them. And we should all be proud of our students and their accomplishments. And I wish them all the best as we have midterms the next 2 days.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Klein. The last announcement that I have is just discussing a couple things about our meetings. These meetings are your meetings. These meetings are for the public. I want to encourage people to come. I want to encourage people to come and to learn, to participate, to provide us with the information that we need to run the city. And I want to remind people that the meetings are run pursuant to a city code. It tells us how these meetings have to be run and how they should be run. And so I want to go through two major words real quick. The first one is respect. I want us to respect each other. I want us to respect the audience. And I want us to respect the council. And most of us, I want us to respect our staff. This isn't a place to vent your anger or your personal vendettas. If you have anger, put it in writing or call City Hall and ask for a meeting. I will be happy to sit down and discuss your concerns directly with you face to face. The second word is decorum. There's proper ways to run a meeting and proper ways for all of us to act during that meeting. The city code indicates that a call to the public or an agenda item that is addressed by anybody in the audience is to have a maximum of 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes to get our ideas through, and that we will not be given any more time than those 3 minutes. There's going to be no repetition. The city code talks about repetition. Please understand, when five people get together and call each other and say, let's all meet at City Hall, let's all individually tell the council what we think about a subject, it does little good. It's the content of what you say rather than how many times it's said. So I would suggest that, please. Repetition is something that we really, it's just time consuming, and that nobody, Ms. Klein has been here longer than all of us put together, and I would guarantee you that she would, I'm sure, indicate that she's not swayed by how many people say the same thing, but rather how it's said. And the last is that there'll be no personal, impertinent, or slanderous remarks that will be tolerated. It's built into city code, and I expect that it's going to be enforced. And so with that, thank you very much for indulging me. And with that, we will continue. And we'll go to call to the public. We only have one person signed up, and that's Marie Miner.
3 minutes from when I get up to
it. Now.
Thank you to the mayor and city council. I usually don't write down my speeches, but the mayor is going to enforce the 3-minute rule. The cheerleader sweater I'm wearing tonight is symbolic of the pep talk I'm giving tonight. I did my homework on the facts to prepare for this talk. I'm appealing to the recently elected mayor, to the city manager, and city council to focus on how we can start to attract new businesses and encourage more Bisbee residents. What we know as the Safeway Plaza is a misunderstanding. Safeway only owns their store. The plaza is owned by a person who is running at a loss each month. As of January 2017, there will be 4 vacancies of rentals. State Farm Insurance is moving to another location in Bisbee. The plaza owner has tried hard to rent the empty ones, but she has 2 obstacles. One is our decreasing population. Bisbee lost about 1,000 people from the 2000 census to the 2010 census, and we're still going down. The other issue is revenue. It's difficult to convince stores to come here when they don't think they'll make enough money. This plaza owner pays about $340 to the city each month for trash and sewer services for these vacant units. So she pays for services that she doesn't get. In addition, an occupancy tax is paid by the owner or tenant each month. They pay 3.5% on occupied units to the state, who distributes the tax to the city of Bisbee. So the city loses out on the 3 unoccupied units, and starting in January, they're going to lose a 4th one. Every month, the plaza owner is losing money on this plaza. How long can she continue to take this loss? Imagine if she gave up the plaza as a loss. No Family Dollar Store, no American Southwest Credit Union, no Chinese restaurant, and no Gus's restaurant. Sounds like the beginning of a ghost town. This plaza isn't the only struggling business. Due to the weakened economy, Lowell Plaza and Old Bisbee are struggling too. We don't have as many snowbirds as we used to. Fewer people can afford to travel distances to shop and be entertained. By the way, the Bisbee Food Co-op could afford to stock more items if there were more people shopping there. Same with other stores. Once again, I'm urging the city manager, mayor, and city council to focus on how we can attract new businesses and more people to settle in Bisbee. Even more importantly, you Bisbeeites and county viewers have to become more involved in these endeavors. Shop locally. Pay a few more dollars to keep Bisbee businesses alive. Read the local newspapers and watch TV city council meetings on Cable 1. That's Channel 5. Look at all the vacant commercial properties and empty houses. Many of you know that Bisbee is shrinking in population, but what are you personally doing to prevent another Arizona ghost town? Now you understand why I wear this sweater. Yay, Bisbee, hip hip parade.
Thank you, Ms. Miner. Item number 1, accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $494,641.46.
I second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes 6-0. Item number 2, approval of consent agenda. I'll read the agenda. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on December 6, 2016 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the appointment of Halise Dupnit to the Community Sustainability Commission. C, approval of the appointment of Kenneth Budge to the Design Review Board. D, approval of the appointment of Kenneth Budge to the Board of Adjustment with a waiver of number of commissions. E, approval of the appointment of Dennis Nelson to the Board of Adjustment. Are any of councilors wish to have any of those items pulled for discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. The motion passes 6-0.
We didn't have a motion there. I think we skipped it.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to accept?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through E.
A second.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Coronado, now that you're warmed up.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Nay, I'm just kidding. Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Now the motion passes 6-0. Then we'll move on to old business, discussion and possible approval of ordinance O-16-08, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located adjacent to 48 Wood Canyon. Mr. Ward. The council has heard this question. Are there any questions of Mr. Ward?
No.
Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve Ordinance 0-16-08, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located adjacent to 48 Wood Canyon.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Ms. Cornell.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Item number 4, discussion of possible approval of Ordinance O-16-07 to rezone partials 103-62-416 and 103-62-416A, subject to the 8 conditions set forth in the staff report. This has come before the council. This is the ordinance, the rezoning request that was passed unanimously by the Planning and Zoning and was brought to the council. Do we have any questions or discussion on this item? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to accept.
I move that we approve Ordinance 0-16-07 to rezone parcels 103-62-416 and 103-62-416A, subject to the 8 conditions set forth in the staff report.
I second.
We have a motion. We have second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-1. New business. Chief Achave. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, City staff, and citizens of Bisbee. I'd like to ask Benny Scott to step forward. Detective Benny Scott and I got together, and we wanted to do something for Jim Elkins, our chief, who passed away not too long ago. And so I'm going to ask Benny to speak a little bit, and we're going to go ahead and present something to Ms. Elkins on behalf of the chief.
At some time ago, Mrs. Montanaro came up here and with Chief Ichafi, and they presented the new badges to the city council. To be honest with you, I got jealous. I've been carrying one of these ever since I retired. It's gold, it's polished. But when I seen them new badges, I thought, man, I'd like to have one of them. And I really didn't think much about it till she pinned it on his shirt. It kind of stuck out like a halogen headlight. I said, I gotta have one. So I met with the chief and I asked him, I told him, I said, you know what? I want one of these badges. Number one, it's a collectible item now. It really, you can tell the difference. You know, it's beautiful. I don't know what Mr. Montanaro did, how he come up with this kind of a gold. It's different. And so I went down and I talked with the chief, and he says, well, I got to let you in on a little secret. He says, we can get it. And he says, but there's a little story about it all. He says, I think that if somebody wants to get Chief Elkins, well, I said, let's do this. We did. The bad thing is, I was trying to figure out how am I going to give it to him. Well, everything was fine. I figured, well, we could do it at City Hall. We could give it at the golf course. We could do it in front of the police station. Or I thought maybe we'd just go to their house and have a big barbecue and let Donnie and them do the cooking and clean up the mess in the backyard. Well, he didn't play the game right. So the day of the memorial services, and I talked with the chief at the dinner, and I says, we got a badge just floating around. We're not sending it back. So him and I talked a little bit, and we met a couple of times about it. You want to present it?
One up. So this is the badge that was purchased by Benny Scott. This is a badge that was purchased by Benny Scott to give to Chief Elkins, his retired chief's badge. Unfortunately, he passed before he was ever able to give it to him. We took his casket flag and put that badge on his flag to forever memorialize him as our chief, as my chief. And it's a small token of our appreciation to all the years of service for the chief and also for all the years of service to you, Martha, to the police department, your dedication to us. We love you, and we thank you for everything.
Thank you.
And just one thing I'd like to bring up. I don't want to say this badge is actually for me. It's an badge from the police department as well. This badge also, as far as I'm concerned, comes from when I stood up at that podium in that auditorium, to me, this badge comes from all of the good hearts of all the people that were standing there that will never forget Chief Elkins.
I'm very touched and honored for yet another tribute to our Jim and your chief. He was passionate about his career, and he loved his law enforcement family.
Thank you.
And Ms. Elkins, I would personally like to thank you and your family for the hardships that you went through being the wife and family of a police officer. So thank you so much. Okay, we have item number 6. We have one person signed up, but I assume you'd rather speak after the presentation?
Oh, no.
Okay, then you may speak before the presentation. Ms. Donna Pulling.
Thank you, Mayor. And I want to take a moment to thank all of you new council members, and really looking forward to seeing you and working with all of you. Thank you for putting yourselves in this position of service. I've been gone for about a month recovering from a surgery, and that gave me a lot of time to do some reading. And one of the things that I had time to read was the 54-page 2016 financial statement audit. And I highly recommend each of us reading the audit. It's online. It's part of the agenda packet. And it's a quite informative document. I was surprised myself as to how much I found out about the operations of the city by reading the audit. And there are a couple of things that I wanted to just mention about the audit that stood out to me. And one of them is that Carrie Bagley, the now new finance director, actually did an amazing job in getting the documents prepared in a timely manner under extremely short notice and circumstances to get the audit prepared. And so thank you, Carrie. You've done a really great job in accomplishing a feat in a very short period of time. The second thing that I noticed about the audit was that, again, it was very readable. And on page 4 of the audit, it gives some financial highlights that I think need to be recognized. And maybe in the presentation they will recognize these things. But that the city in the year 2015-2016 was actually in really good financial shape. And I think that we have to acknowledge the hard work of the finance director and the previous city manager, Justin Johnson, in order to recognize that the city's total net position increased by $121,000. The city's revenue from government activities increased. Expenditures from government activities decreased. The total outstanding non-current liabilities decreased. And the general fund reported a fund balance increase from $101.71 million to $2.10 million. And the $387,000 increase in fund balance is due primarily to higher than anticipated ambulance fees collected. And I think that we have to really acknowledge just Justin Johnson for all the hard work that he put in to making sure that those ambulance runs were guaranteed and incorporated into that budget. The last thing that I wanted to mention that I noticed was on page 9 of the budget, of the audit. It says economic factors and next year's budget. And I would like to actually direct this to council in considering that the city manager be given some goals and objectives in regards to this economic factors and next year's budget as recommended by the audit committee. The city continues to face major financial challenges in the years ahead. Some important issues that will influence the preparation of future budgets include: continue to look at ways to increase revenues and decrease expenses to limit the use of reserves to cover operating expenses. Develop a plan to reduce the large unfunded liability for the PSPRS obligation. That's the pension fund obligation. Develop a plan to reduce the large balance of uncollectible sewer and garbage accounts. Maintain a reasonable level of services for the citizens of the city of Bisbee in these continuing continually challenging economic times, maintain comparable pay and benefits to the City of Bisbee employees while facing increasing minimum wage, health care, and pension costs, and acquire funding for much-needed capital equipment and vehicles. I think these are very specific goals and objectives that can be outlined to the city manager for him to accomplish in this next year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Bowen. I will state that Mr. Marsh and I have been meeting under using exactly those items for the last several weeks, and so it was no surprise. It was a nice surprise when that report indicated those items, because those are precisely what we've been discussing. And so I can promise you that a number of those items, all of those are being addressed, but a number are actually being worked on, and you will see the results of that in the near future. So Ms. Bagley.
I would just like to introduce our auditor, Olivia Brasher, with Vester and Chapman, here to present the findings or the results of our 2016 audit.
Thank you. Please.
Can you turn the light?
Thank you very much, Carrie, for that introduction. Mayor, Council, City Manager Marsh, Ms. Bagley, I want to thank everyone for having me here tonight to present the results of the city's FY16 audit. We anticipate issuing the final audit next week. You have a draft. I don't anticipate any significant changes at all to that, so we're going to present that as written. And again, I would like to reiterate thanks to Ms. Bagley for her hard work. She really stepped up and helped to get the audit completed, so thank you to her. Our firm, Fester & Chapman, has been auditing the city's financial statements since 2001, full-service CPA out of Phoenix. We just recently moved to Scottsdale. The purpose of the audit is to give an opinion on the city's financial statements as to whether they're presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP, as you'll hear throughout the presentation. As part of the audit, we also test compliance with certain laws and regulations. We test controls over expenditures of highways and streets funds and sales tax revenue fund allocations. And we noted nothing that was out of compliance with laws or regulations during our test work of those areas. How do we perform the audit? Our staff come on site, about 2 to 3 auditors, in June to observe the Queen Mine inventory and to test transactions at that time and internal controls. We come on site again after the books are closed in October and stay on site. This year we're on site 3 days because normally it's about 4 to 5, but the city did not have to undergo the federal compliance audit this year because of the federal grant expenditures were under $750,000, so that kind of shaved off a day of our final field work there. Audit procedures include assessing the risk of fraud and misstatements in the financial statements. As part of that, we always confirm account balances with banks, lenders, as far as cash and grants and debt. We inspect support for cash receipts and disbursements. And we also make many inquiries of management, city attorney, council members, and we read council minutes as well to kind of plan the audit to address any risks that we come across. The FY16 audit, we anticipate issuing an unmodified audit opinion, which is the best possible result, meaning that your financial statements are presented in accordance with GAAP. We had no difficulties or disagreements with management, and we noted no fraud while completing the audit. We did have some findings and recommendations that were required to report. Anytime that there are audit adjusting journal entries, we have to consider how to report those. There's 3 levels of audit findings. You have a material weakness in internal controls, which is the most severe, material misstatements. You have a significant deficiency, which is less severe than a material weakness, but still merits your attention, and that's the level we report this finding. And then we also have some advisory comments, just sort of some best practice that I'll go through as well. As far as the significant deficiency, we had adjusting journal entries to beginning fund balances in the wastewater, sanitation, and Queen Mines fund. Those beginning fund balances have to agree to last year's audit, and there were some pension entries that needed to be reversed to make those agree. We had sales tax revenue for the streets fund recorded as revenue in the general fund. Of course, the cash was transferred out, but we recommended that, GAAP recommends that the revenue is recorded in the streets fund, and you'll see that as a major fund on your financial statements this year. And then accounts payable and revenue were overstated by $77,000 in the wastewater fund. Accounts payable and expenditures were understated by $23,000 in the general fund and by $20,000 in the capital projects fund. And then we also had journal entries to correct due from other governments and related revenue, which was understated by $17,000 in the wastewater fund. So those entries have been recorded by management and are reflected in your financial statements. Additional advisory comments that we have, just sort of best practice. There were 21 post-closing journal entries provided to us during the audit, including capital assets, transfers, pension liabilities, and related accounts. We just recommend that a majority of those journal entries be posted before we come on site for field work. It just cuts down on some of the time it takes to go through the process, and it expedites the issuance process on the back end. We also recommend that there's always documentation of two people present to count BSBY bus cash receipts collected from fare boxes, and that they sign the cash count sheet and reconcile the cash count sheet to the deposit slip to help ensure that all cash collected is deposited and recorded. During the audit, we also test a sample of rates charged to customers and make sure that those are in line with those approved by the council. We had a random sample of 25 cash receipts of customer charges, and this was the one. There was $10.76 a month charged to a low-income household for garbage collection services instead of the $10.56 approved by council. So we brought that to management's attention, and it's been corrected in the system. So our recommendations that go with those findings is that management develop policies and procedures to help ensure accounts, balances, and transactions are recorded in accordance with GAAP. Finance department should post capital asset entries as part of the month-end closing process to reduce the amount of entries that need to be made at year-end related to those accounts. Document the BSBY bus fare cash collection and count sheets or two people are present and reconcile that to the deposit slip. And then also double check that rates approved by council are charged for services at random times throughout the year. In the management letter that we issue, management has responded to our recommendations, and we feel that those responses are appropriate to address our concerns. So, and then just overall with the financial highlights, total net position increased by $121,000 to $10.5 million. This is the citywide as a whole. In the governmental activities, there's a net deficit of $4.2 million. And in the business-type activities, there is a $14.7 million net position positive. The deficit in the governmental activities is a result of the net pension liability that's required to be on the balance sheet of approximately, I think it's like $21 million in total. 18 of that is related to PSPRS. The city's revenue from governmental activities increased by $1.8 million, and as previously spoken to, that's due to the ambulance fees increasing. City's revenues from business-type activities decreased by $1.8 million, and this was primarily due to capital grants, WIFA grants, that were received in the prior year, not received in the current year. Overall, expenditures from governmental activities decreased by $152,000, and expenses from business-type activities were pretty flat. They only increased by $9,000. The general fund reported an increase in fund balance in FY16 of $387,000. Streets fund reported a decrease in fund balance of $37,000. And other governmental funds reported an increase of $206,000. And in total, governmental funds had a net position increase of $556,000 positive. And the business type funds, you had increases in all three funds. Wastewater had increase of $24,000, sanitation $13,000, Queen Mine reported net position increase of $65,000, total $101,000 positive to the bottom line. And again, just want to point out where the city stands with its pension plans. The city meets its obligations every month and makes the required contributions. This net pension liability is required to be reported on your balance sheet. The city participates in ASRS and PSPRS. ASRS, the net pension liability as of June 30, 2016, was $3.1 million. PSPRS for fire was $8.1 million, and police was $10.1 million. Total net pension liability of $21 million. The city has extremely high contribution rates that are required, and I'll show you on this tab. ASRS stays pretty flat, and that's across the state of 5%, and that's been pretty consistent the last few years. The PSPRS rates are individualized for each city's plan because it's the city's own pool of money that pays out the police and firemen when they retire. And you'll see FY16 was 74% and 72%. The current year, you're at 83% and 91%. It continues to increase, so it's a very important topic that the city address, and I know City Manager Marsh, it's got that on his agenda to bring that discussion to the table so that that can be addressed as well. That concludes my presentation. I'd like to open it up for any questions at this time.
Questions, councilors? No questions? Thank you so much. I'd like to, I see Sharon Bono's in the audience. I'd like to thank her for her hard work during a great portion of this year. And certain Carrie Bagley, thank you so much for being able to get everything together and get it done so that we could meet the time elements that are required by the city charter, which is December, for this to be presented. And thank you and your firm so much for your continued assistance.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Presentation by the U of A students on design of the Bisbee Assisted Lift Delivery System and possible discussion. Mr. Haradic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We're going to take a few minutes here in the, they call them boys, but they're actually not boys.
I've been done.
Aaron Houseman and Jacob Davis. This is Jake. This is Aaron. These are two members. These are two members of the lift system team from the U of A Capstone Project. So they're going to load up a presentation. This won't take more than 45 minutes, I hope. I got him to get a response earlier.
Yeah. Which we won't talk about.
So looks like they're pretty good at this. Let's see. So the Bisbee lift system, just to kind of refresh everybody, this is a system that, this is a capstone project from the U of A College of Engineering. What we're coming up with and what we're addressing is the issue in Old Bisbee where people are having a hard time. We don't have parking for residents. We really can't grow parts of Old Bisbee because there's no way to get your groceries or your firewood or your construction material up a hill. So what sanitation did, because as people get older in town, they're even having a hard time getting their garbage down the hill, we funded a capstone project. And some of the rules that we had for the project, or some of the guidelines, rather, were that it had to be a very low-cost, off-the-shelf kind of technology. What the students came up with we didn't have time to set up a system and then test every element of it. So we needed to put elements that we could get off the shelf that were already tested so that we knew we could hand the building inspector a plan that had been preliminarily approved by the University of Arizona College of Engineering, and one that we can bring forward through our own building department. So the kids have come, the students, the young people from the U of A, have come up with something pretty ingenious, very simple, and pretty inexpensive, as I read. So you've got 3 minutes. speak into the mic. So.
All right, well, my name is Jacob Davis.
And I'm Aaron Houtman.
I'm a mechanical engineer, and one of many who is working on this project. We'll go over as quickly as possible. This presentation was initially done for the university as we were graded on, so there's a lot more material than we'll need to discuss here currently. As he said, the background of this was to help citizens transport items up and down the hill of the city of Bisbee, just to make things easier as some people get older and the steps are not convenient for carrying everything. This just shows kind of all the requirements and things we've considered. I'm not going to go into detail of how we're going to test, demonstrate, inspect, and analyze. And just to show that, you know, a lot of time and thought has gone through of what this system needs to withstand in order to operate safely and properly and reliably. As we go through here, skipping through quite a bit just because this goes into detail on a lot of things. We came up to start off with just using a basic winch simply because it's reliable. You can easily buy it and they come with warranties. And many of the things we chose in this are something you buy right off the shelf. Nothing's going to be custom made or machined. Just in case something goes wrong, it can be easily replaced and fix it that way. And so we're going over, this is just analysis of what we did of all the different rail types of how we're going to build this system and why one's better than the other. We did this for all the systems of the lift system, from the rail system materials, the winch selection, trade studies on each of these, the data communication, as there will be a call box. I have a picture that will demonstrate what this overall system looks like near the end, just so I can give you a better view of what to expect. We did hardware software, which is for our EE.
So to kind of elaborate on the tests that were done, with each major requirement with the rail system and the cart and the the call system, we weighed based on what we felt was the most important, based on cost and functionality, we decided which ones were the best options to use. So just kind of a simple way to determine what was the
correct. And these were the final decisions for each of those trade studies. Further in, this is just the electronics architecture, which I'm not fully understanding because I'm in the mechanical side, but our EEs are not here today. So if any of you understand this, go ahead and take a look. This is continuing to break down the system. A lot of this was done for school and for, you know, further in-depth understanding, so I'm not going to go over a lot of this. Analysis and test plan. So like you said, a lot of this cannot be tested simply because we're building this here, and to build a full-scale model at the school would be kind of defeat the purpose, just because we need the full-scale model here. So a lot of it we can do while we're building it and testing. And there's many other tests that we have here. A quick risk analysis was done on just things that were likely to fail and mitigation plans as to how we would correct any of these issues.
And as you can see with the risk analysis, none of the risks scored anything above a moderate. So there's really no
low risk on this system just because it's a simple design. All right, we're getting to the end here. This is the preliminary cost analysis. We calculated the worst case scenario and the most expensive scenario. We were allowed $4,000, and between everything, also between our design day that we need to have about $500 for, we're at about $3,300. The actual system itself at the end will probably cost around $2,500, but for our particular case with testing everything, it's probably going to be closer to $3,300. And here's a quick picture of a prototype model. Here's a little larger one. It's not done very well. I just learned this software. I'm used to other engineering software, but it's a basic system of a call box at the top and bottom of the hill connected by Bluetooth. You will have a rail system of round tube stock supported by wooden supports and a winch at the very top, which will just simply pull the cart up and will release to allow the winch to go down. It's the most basic and reliable system we could come up with that would work in many weather conditions and would allow for this to be built on several different types of hills.
Do you have anything else to add? Thank you. Pretty much covered.
How many feet did you come up with in this?
So this run we measured, it's a 50-foot run of the staircase, that's not including the two landing parts at the front and end, at about a 30-degree incline, which is really nothing compared to what this winch can do. This winch will be able to pull well over like 9,000 pounds. So the limiting factor of this system will be between the cart and the contact of the railing and how we design the railing. We're going to design this such that it will be able to support much larger loads needed if construction or cement or something needs to be hauled up the hill. But also for safety, we included this call box that will have a keypad, and each person will be given a password, and which will prevent kids from coming up or whoever using this call system. So the passwords will be given to the users according to where they live and what hill this was bought on, so it will be used safely and appropriately. And this is just a timeline of what we plan to do. We still, next semester, to come up with our everything in prototyping. And just a quick summary of what we had. And if there's any questions.
Questions, Castle?
So it's strictly funded by the grant? I mean, for the city?
No, the engineering sanitation paid for the capstone project of $10,000, so that came out of the enterprise fund, and we picked up. I gave them a pretty low cost analysis, 50 feet for $3,300. They actually beat the.
So that's what the city would be paying.
That's what the city and what our plan on this first installation is we have a homeowner who wants to who received money to help go ahead and pay for almost half of the system. So sanitation, which is an enterprise fund, we'll pay for half, and then the citizen, we'll partner with the citizen on this first project. What's really interesting about this is it's our technology. The U of A doesn't own any of this. They don't keep it. This design belongs to the city of Bisbee. If we patent this design and to move forward with it, it is ours, and it is something that can be used in all very hilly or very steep kinds of conditions. What I'm really most proud of is the low cost that they came up with the construction on this. It's very, very inexpensive.
Yeah, and like I said, it actually could be much lower than that. That's including prototyping and our design day, which was $500. So you can automatically deduct $500 from that for just an individual system of the same size, as well as a lot of the price was actually in the lumber. And we've been looking into sourcing either old railroad ties or used telephone poles, which I was going to bring up to you, which would take down the cost quite a bit. So you could assume anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500 for your average system of this size, possibly less, but I don't want to make any promises as of now.
When we first came to this, one of the issues was we had citizens coming to us, and they wanted to put viniculars or winch systems up along the staircases in Old Bisbee. We didn't have any the MAG standards, Maricopa and Associated Governments, which is an engineering standard book that we happen to use. There's also one for Pima County and Associated Governments. This isn't something that was listed as an engineering standard. When people are coming to me and wanting to put a vernacular on a staircase, and this is someone who's handicapped or really having a physical issue, and I tell them no, because you can't take up a 4-foot staircase with a 3-foot track and ever allow anybody else on that staircase. The reason those viniculars are mostly wanted is because people, especially our aging citizens, need a way to get up and down the hill. The low cost, now, I have brought, as many public directors have done, what we normally do when we do a project is we go out for engineering. It's usually through a grant. What we really got is about a $10,000 engineering project for $1,000. What we have is this, if a citizen comes in and needs a system to get up or down a hill, we now have a pre-engineered system, and at their expense, they can actually build something to get their things up and down the hill. But we have something that's pre-engineered, it's on the shelf, and it's ready to go. So we don't have to ask the question again, somebody doesn't have to ask us again, how am I going to get my things up the hill? We have whole sections of Bisbee that we aren't going to develop if we can't get people and their supplies up those hills. So I'm really proud of the boys and the low-cost solution that they came up on this project. So we will sometime after January, mid-cold January, we will start a build process. We haven't talked about the railroad ties, which I have a mountain of.
I think Mr. Higgins has a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so if somebody comes to you, mm-hmm. and they say, I would like this system, system is entirely at their expense.
That's correct.
And what the city's done here is just drawn up an engineering plan, blueprint, and for a guideline for people that want to do that.
That's correct.
And the city has just put up the money for the engineering.
That's right.
And so after that, it's going to be funded entirely by somebody that has to have that or needs it.
Yeah, I mean, remember, you have something that the city owns now, so the city can either. I don't know what our future plans are going to be. I don't know what kind of development we're going to try to offer on, say, on B Mountain, where this is going to go. I don't know any of that, but we have the option now. The city can install these. One of the things I liked about the system is we have a lot of work we need to do up on those terraces. This doesn't have to be a permanent installation. This installation can go up on those railroad ties so that even we can get up there and effectively do work. The system can be broken down into sections so that if we have to tear down a house that's above Ken Budge's house, I'll use that as an example of elevation, we can actually get up there and get these things down off of that hill safely. So there's all kinds of applications to the system, and it's very adaptable to many things. But
So people could build, use it to move building materials up and down the hill easily?
Yeah, that's how we designed it to have a very large load capacity. So whether it's 1,000 plus pounds of cement, if not more, it could handle that. And the cart that will be designed, you know, a specific size. However, we'll supply designs to accommodate larger carts to allow various building materials to be hauled up the hill.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds good.
Any other questions?
I have one question.
No, the audience isn't going to be able to ask questions.
I've got my question. So when is the you're going to start on the prototype, and that's going to be done here, correct?
Correct. We will be doing some initial prototyping on separate systems, subsystems such as the call system and structural analysis at the U of A, just to make sure segments would work. And then basically it's just going to be a simply larger scale or a compounded version of what we're testing there. But the overall system final built will be done here rather than building a scale size at the U of A.
And this will be done by the end of this next semester? Is that correct?
By May.
By May, okay. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
Please. No question, just a comment. I remember when Andy first came to us with this, and it was just this idea that he had, and it's kind of neat to see how it's progressing, you know, so far. And it's an interesting concept, and I think it's really going to help improve a lot of, you know, people's ability, you know, to get groceries or whatnot up and down. And so, I don't know, I'm really looking forward to the prototype. So thank you again for doing this.
And we're going to involve, and these guys know it, we talked about it from the beginning, but when we get ready to build, we're going to involve the high school. And we want those kids to come up. And one of the things we wanted to get out of this is, when I went up to do this presentation and to ask, you know, to do the capstone, the presentation, and I didn't tell you guys this, I don't think, but there was a gal up there who came to look for me, and because it said Bisbee on the table with the tablecloth. And she came and found me. She ran me down, and she said, do you live in Bisbee? I said, no, I live in Naco, but I work for the city. And she said, oh, I'm from Naco. I said, you are? And she said, yeah. And she goes, you know, we moved up here. I married my husband in Naco, and we have two children. My husband has a doctorate in psychology. My two children now have master's degrees, and I'm getting my master's degrees. And these were kids from Naco who went to school at Bisbee High. And what that made me think about is that we live in a small town, but we don't need to think small. We can think big, and so can our kids. And I want our kids to meet these kids that come from other places. They're thinking big, and they're moving forward with their lives and their education. We have a high school class that 51% receives scholarships year over year. You show me another high school in the United States where 51% of a graduating class gets a scholarship. You aren't going to find it. We have plenty of smart, intelligent kids who need to start thinking bigger, and I want them to work with these kids so they can see how this is done. There are kids from a mining town who are using railroad ties. I'm more excited about that than I am.
It's great. Yeah, I want to thank you. It's a great collaborative effort between the city and the U of A. And I want to thank Andy for being able to get this moving. So, and particularly thank you. And please extend our appreciation to the rest of the team.
Will do. Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been good. It's exciting to actually see a system that will help someone. Yeah. So good.
You bet. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. Can you meet me? I have one more thing to do, but I have your T-shirts in stores. Do you need your flash drive, or do you have all your stuff?
I have it.
Good deal.
Item number 8.
Item number.
Go sit down.
Item number 8, discussion of possible approval to extend the original agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for Operation Stone Garden, award number 150415-01, and the Bisbee Police Department for overtime and employee related expenses and mileage. Chief Enchave.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, City staff, citizens of Bisbee. I'm coming for you today requesting that we extend our last year's awarded funds for Stone Garden. The City of Bisbee was not granted any additional Stone Garden funds for fiscal year 2016 because we hadn't spent any of the funds that they'd already given us. Well, excuse me, we spent a very small amount of the funds that they'd already given us. rather than take that money back on last year's grant and give us new money, they opted to give us a 12-month extension and allow us to try to spend the money that they've already given us. So again, this is a extension on the grant that was already awarded from last year. We weren't allowed, or we didn't have the opportunity to use any of that time or any of those functions because we were so short-handed on the police department. The guys were already working a lot of overtime hours to cover just the regular street, regular patrol duties. There was no opportunity for them to participate in any stone garden operations. So now that we're our numbers are coming back up, we're getting some more employees out there, and we're coming closer to a fully staffed department, we'll have the opportunity to partake in some of this. And again, this is a the big concern is Operation Stone Garden over the past 10-plus years. Every year has bought us some type of equipment. And the equipment, the agreement is that we'll buy this for you so long as you use it for this operation. And so what they're telling us now is that if we don't continue, if we terminate this agreement, we don't accept the extension, they're going to want some of the last stuff that they bought us back, to include the stuff that's listed here, the three Noptic systems, which is a infrared nighttime camera that mounts on a vehicle and the officer can actually see those images on his laptop, MDC. Three mobile data computers. Those are valued at $9,000 each. And three Harris handheld radios. Those are all important items, but for me, the Harris radios are the most important. That's the radio that I carry. We only have a limited number of these. These radios are the ones that are that will be compliant with the Sheriff's Department's new 700-800 megahertz radio system. The standard Tate radio, Sergeant Long is wearing his Harris as well. The supervisors all have these issued because when they flip that switch and the county changes their new system, these are the ones that are going to be compatible with that. And so at least the supervisors will be able to speak to the Sheriff's Department on their own channel. Right now, we can all talk freely back and forth. Once they change that newer upgraded system, our older radios won't talk to them. They're not 700-800 megahertz compatible. They can talk to us on our channel, but we can't call to them on their channel and request assistance because we wouldn't be able to, they wouldn't be able to hear us. So that's the big concern for us as far as officer safety and communications. And again, this is a this program is approximately $103,000 for overtime. To include all EREs. In a time that we're in right now as a very low-paid agency, the lowest-paid agency in Cochise County, this does afford a small opportunity for these guys to make a little bit of extra money. There's always a concern for the pension, and that's a hot topic. The auditors talked about that in their presentation, the amount of money that we pay. It forced me to have to do a little research into my own pension fund and learn it a little better than I ever had before. And I found out that the pension expects every police officer out there to get a 4% increase every single year. And that doesn't happen, hasn't happened. Even the big agencies that do get increases, they don't get 4% every year. So there's a shortfall automatically built into the system. There's less money coming in than they're expecting to get. On top of that, they're expecting a 7.85% return on the investments that they're not getting. So there's a lot of shortfalls built into that. A well-managed overtime opportunity can help pick up some of that 4% to make the city a little closer to even where we should be. Obviously, we don't have the funds to give every employee in public safety, police, and fire 4% pay raise. I mean, I'd love it if we could, and I'm sure they would love it as well. It's just not feasible. But this will help pick up some of that. We would limit that overtime opportunities to 16 hours of pay period. Now, I want to be real specific on that. We would limit the Stone Garden operation overtime to 16 hours. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of unforeseen events that happen all the time. These guys can sign up for 16 hours very early on in their two-week period, and we could have some type of catastrophic event. We could have an officer get sick, go out on short-term disability, quit, resign. We could have any number of things happen that would require me to call guys in to work extra shifts to meet the shortfall. And I wouldn't want to limit. Those are things that we would have to pay for whether we had Stone Garden or not. I don't want to limit my guys to those opportunities because those are the opportunities I need as a manager to have. Stone Garden hours, though, they would be limited for Stone Garden hours to 16 hours of pay period for those that want to do it. It's completely voluntary. Everybody has the same opportunities to sign up for it. It's very well managed today versus the way it was 10 years ago. Officers have to sign up to as much as a week in advance, sometimes 2 weeks in advance. They have to put their name on the list. And if the list is full, then there's nobody to work. It's full. You don't get to work it that week if you didn't get your name on there soon enough. So that allows Sergeant Poppy, who administers this grant, the opportunity to really have a close watch on how that time is being utilized. And he can see before the hours are even worked if somebody signed up for too many hours and adjust that or fix that so we can keep that at the 16 hours and not exceed that. So I kind of talked a lot, covered a lot of things, but is there any questions on Stone Garden?
Go ahead, Mr. Hayes.
So basically, how much did you say it was available for the overtime after the grants for the equipment? Was it the remainder of the $115,000?
The remainder of the $115,000. So that's $103,000, $103,078.84 for overtime and EREs. Now remember, a big chunk of that is covered by that 91% for the unfunded liability. So that really cuts that number down to the amount of time the guys are actually earning as far as overtime. There's also $10,732.22 for mileage and vehicle reimbursement. That's out of the original $115,000 awarded amount.
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I'm real happy that we have new police officers in Bisbee. It's good to see young faces.
Yes.
And it's good to see that Bisbee Police Department is coming back strong.
Yes, sir. Thank
and
you.
I've always been an admirer of the Bisbee Police Department compared to a lot of other places where I've lived, and my interaction with them has always been good. And I think that community policing is part of what you do. I think you do it pretty well. And I really am glad that we have these young people, and I'm sure that under your guidance that they're going to follow that tradition of community policing and be part of the community. And I have a lot of people that have been concerned about militarization of the border. And I think that one of our best defenses here in Bisbee against militarization is a community-based, community policing, police department like we have. And I agree. I'm glad to see these young guys get some overtime.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. For those that might not understand, if we're talking about this $103,000 with the EREs, total, we're talking about probably less than $50,000 in overtime. And when Chief Achave is talking about 16 hours a pay period is 2 weeks. So that's 8 hours a week. Okay, so I'm just trying to let us understand exactly what that really means. There had been a time when, as he indicated, there was some abuses of that, and it's been very, very closely monitored since. So, any questions or statements from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve that we extend the original agreement between Arizona Department of Homeland Security for Operation Stone Garden Award Number 150415-01
and the police department for overtime and employee-related expenses and mileage.
I second that. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Number 9, discussion and possible approval to enter into a contract with the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter to employ the Friends as an independent contractor in operating the animal shelter. Mr. Horadic, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Public Works, a couple of months ago, assumed some responsibility for the everyday operation of the animal shelter. That's why I'm actually bringing this forward. After many years of running an animal shelter, and with no regrets from the police department or Public Works, and after many, many hours of meetings, lots of tears, lots of concern, we have come to terms or an agreement with the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter. What you have before you is a contract that is going to be, we're proposing this for a 6-month trial period. It is a big, time-consuming job. It doesn't seem like it should be, but it is. You're in an ungrateful position many, many times. You're responsible for the lives of God's creatures, being dogs or cats. That's what you're responsible for. It's a big deal to me. As a late in life pet owner, I grew up on ranches. I didn't realize what it meant to have a pet, or how important it was to people, and how important it is to the community that we have a shelter that's run, that people care about and is well run. So we have a contract that we have met several times about. We've gone through and hashed out its and buzz. Word shall doesn't exist, so we're not really obligated to have a way out in 6 months, but we're suggesting the 6 months because it's a bigger job than it looks like, and I want the Friends to know that if it's more than they can handle in that 6 months, that we're going to be here and we're going to help them figure out how to get through that. The other beauty of this contract is that there's no additional cost to the city other than what we're operating, other than our current operating budget. And in the contract, we talk about not incurring any additional costs from the time forward that we enact that contract after 6 months. So this will give them a chance to get their feet wet. The volunteers at the animal shelter are really beautiful women who have full-time jobs and full lives.
There are men involved in this also, Mr. Ray.
And one or two of the guys. I'm looking at the web too. Anyway, you know what I mean. There are men involved. Yeah, this is a big deal, and I'm glad that we're finally here with the Friends. So I would recommend that we enter into this contract for a 6-month trial period with the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter.
Thank you, Mr. Horadic. I might indicate also one thing that he didn't really bring up, but the amount of staff time is incredible when it comes to the shelter. I feel confident that with this, we will be able to create 3 more divisions and give them all to Mr. Horadic to run. Councilors, question? Ms. Klein.
Mr. Horadic, our 2 part-time employees down there will be let go, correct? Or
no,
the 6-month trial period?
The 2 part-time employees at the animal shelter will no longer be employees of the City of Bisbee. They will be able to negotiate their employment with through the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter. They've been at the shelter some time. They actually know how that shelter works. 2 of them are doing the job of 3. So the Friends, they'll negotiate with the Friends, and the Friends will need to negotiate with them as well, because those positions, even if they want to make some changes, I assume that it will come a little slower than fast, because you've got to find somebody to do it and get them on board. They don't have a lot of time to go down there and train, and it's going to be complicated. Running a shelter, I believe it's going to be a little complicated, and they're going to need the people they have for a little bit of time to get them through this.
But there's no guarantee that they
there are no guarantees,
remain employed.
And those employees have been notified.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. I move that we approve entering into a contract with the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter to employ the Friends as an independent contractor to operate the animal shelter.
Second.
Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Davis.
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins.
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom.
Aye.
Mayor Smith.
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Item number 10, discussion of possible approval to enter into a contract, with Souder Miller & Associates, SMA, WBL Group, and Westland Resources, Inc. for engineering and architectural / on-call engineering services as noted in the scope of work. Mr. Heratic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As has been pointed out to the basically the populace of Bisbee, and I've never been shy about this, I am not an engineer. When we made some reorganizations at City Hall, mostly based on financial decisions. This is part of something that I started about a year ago, as soon as we lost Director Klimek. And what we did was is we took the difference in money between what I was making and Mr. Klimek made, and we put that money aside to use for engineering services. Another thing is happening with this as well. Now that we have an engineer, we have a variety of engineering services on staff. When we go for grant applications, we no longer have to go for a separate grant to hire an engineer. We now cover those engineering services with an engineering staff that we've put on call. The grant will pay for the engineering services, but we don't go to bid in the same way that we've done in the past, where we the first 6 weeks of the project is going to bid and selecting an engineer, and then the next 4 weeks after that is awarding it. So part of this process is to help really cut down on projects that we have coming up, on the time and the expense it takes for those engineering services. Some of the things that we will need these engineers for, just so you know, there's some small drainage projects that we'll need assistance with. But you'll notice that we broke this up. So I've got three different engineering firms all doing their specialties. I have one engineering firm here that helped with the WBL group, helped with the reorganization and the replanning of downtown Tucson. I was really happy when they applied for this because that's a resource that as we move forward with redesigns or new planning or talk about what we do in town, we actually have an engineer that we can call. Yes, we know they're $150 an hour, but we now have an engineer that we can call and talk to on the street. Remember, all things don't have to be engineered out. We know how to build a sidewalk. We have the MAG standard for engineering on how to build a sidewalk. What we may need help with is to bring someone down and look at a sight line with us and take some measurements. Those are some of the things we can use an engineer for. And those are things that we've used engineers for in the past. So I'm not looking at any projects, any huge projects that wouldn't be funded by that project themselves, by that project itself. So this puts us in line to have a huge number of different engineering, sciences in place. They're not called sciences, but anyway, this gives us a lot of options. And we're not spending any money on this approval. We don't spend any money until we decide that we want to spend the money. And if I did that, then I would have to come back and talk to you about spending that money.
But when we spend the money, it comes.
It would come. There is a fund that we put that $40,000 in, Councilman Lindstrom. It also the other money that we'll spend, if we applied for a grant with which we will hear in another couple of years with Arizona Department of Housing, it'll be a flood control study that will happen in Bakerville. We will already have an engineer on staff, so when we go to bid for the study, we will be able to use we'll take the engineering costs out of that grant, and we'll use our in-house engineers. So this cuts out, if it can, not and maybe always it won't work that way, but for the majority of time it should work that way. This cuts out the process of going to bid for an engineer every time we have a project that we do with the city. And we spend a good deal of money on those engineered reports. So what we're hoping to do here is be able to save some money on this engineering, our engineering costs.
Questions, councilors? Yes, Ms. Clark.
I've just got a quick question. In doing this, I guess for Ms. Orduño, there's not going to be a conflict or anything of the RFPs or RFQs going out for any of the proposals prior to a project?
No, I don't believe so. As long as, I believe that they've already done the homework as far as the firms that they entertained for the initial, for this initial agenda item. So there should be no conflict.
Okay, thank you.
As I understand, the due diligence has been done.
Right.
These three firms are chosen because each one has a slightly different specialty. So whichever specialty is needed, that's the firm that they'll be calling.
Captain McClain, just so you know, that this was a huge process because this is something very different for us to do. And what we really do is we're using a model that Phoenix or Tucson would actually use. They do this with contracts, engineering services. I went through the county purchasing department with Britt Hansen, with a county attorney, and we sat down and came up with the verbiage and the wording to make this work. And in fact, I want to tell you that the county is considering doing something very close to this now because it isn't something that I didn't invent this wheel. We just looked at what other cities were doing, much larger cities. And I can tell you how burdensome it is to go to bid for all of these different things, and we don't really have the staff to go to bid on for every individual thing. So we're looking at this as cost and time savings for us. But even the county looked at it and said, you know, it's not a bad idea for even us to consider that. And you know, I will tell you that Pima County and the city of Tucson, we're with many, we're connected to many of their save cost projects where they have already done this as well. So in the city of Tucson, you can build something up to $5 million by picking one of the five contractors on the list. We, in fact, used that application when we did the wall up on Tombstone Canyon. So getting into these, what we really are is we're becoming an agreement. We're having an agreement here for engineering services. So it's just something different, and we're hoping that it is, like I said, time-saving and cost-effective.
Thank you. Anything else?
I'm sorry, Ms. Hanson.
Most of the projects that you're talking about that we're going to need the engineering are probably going to be through grants. Is that a fair statement?
Most of them. I think the overpass I'd like to put on School Terrace, I might need to get an engineer for. I'd like to put a clover split there at the intersection and make that a big deal. I'd need an engineer. I'm only kidding.
And the reason I'm asking is because
but 40, most of them would be. 40,000 won't go far.
Right. Exactly.
What we'll do with a lot of these are very small grants. Streets and infrastructure need some small engineering projects. Like I said, I don't need you to tell me how to build a sidewalk. We know how to build the sidewalk. I may have a problem with the sight line. You can come out at $150 an hour. I'll get you out to measure that with me, and we'll make our field call just like we would if I was a traffic control engineer. So we'll use that engineer just like we've used all engineers, but we're not going to be doing – I'm not looking at total projects. I'm looking at ways to get through the things that we can't answer ourselves. Mm-hmm. Not being an engineer, what I do know is when I don't understand something, I'm not afraid to say I need to get an engineer. And I've worked with engineers long enough to understand that is the value of engineering. When you don't understand it, you need to get somebody who specializes in that field.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Anything else, counselors? Do we have a motion?
I move we approve entering into the contract with Sounder Miller and Associates, WBL Group, Westland Resources Incorporated, for engineering and architectural on-call engineering services as noted in scope of work.
I second.
Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Number 11, discussion of possible approval of the agreement for the appointment of a city magistrate for the magistrate court, the city of Bisbee. This is time for the two-year contract to come up. We have a consolidated court, as many of us realize. What we do is we pay the JP, the Justice of the Peace, a certain sum of money, and that person then acts as city magistrate. So if we have if one of our officers makes a misdemeanor arrest, and it's a city code violation, as an example, it would be the magistrate that would hear that matter. And so this is... We discussed this. This is something that I personally would like to look at in the future, but at this point we have a lot of work to do, and has come up, and we're up against a time element on it, and so I was hoping that we would act on this. There's no difference in money. This is a contract of $12,000 a year. It's $1,000 a month, and as I indicated, there is there's no increase. Although there was one that was asked for. So, Any questions, counselors? No questions? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the agreement for the appointment of the city magistrate for the magistrate court of the city of Bisbee.
Second.
Thank you. And Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Number 12, discussion of possible approval of the notion of intent to adopt ordinance O-16-09, amending articles 2.5.1 and 2.8.2 of the city code, changing the meeting times of the council, boards, commissions, and committees. This is brought forward by myself. The several reasons. One is, first of all, the city charter indicates that all meetings of boards, commissions, and the council will be after 5 p.m. And that was done many years ago to allow people typically to get off work and to be here, as well as people to observe the council in action, if that's what they wished. Later, the city code was indicates that the time for the meetings of the council would be 7 p.m. The regular session of the council would be 7 p.m. Some of the commissions meet at 5:30. Some meet at 6 o'clock. We have presently a work day for our employees and staff in which they work until 5:30. And so presently what happens is if we have a council meeting at 7, then the staff that will be assisting us, in this case we have a number of staff that are required to be here, literally have to wait around and do nothing for an hour and a half. And some of these people, are able, because they live in Bisbee, they could go home and grab a sandwich if they wanted and run back or whatever. But we also have staff that do not live in the city limits of Bisbee, and so therefore are unable to do that. So my idea was to come up with a time in which we could have our meetings that would be earlier, also giving all of us the opportunity to go home at a decent hour, and also giving the people the opportunity. I can't tell you how many people I hear saying, you know, I was going to go to the city council meeting, but I went home and sat down, and then I just went, oh, heck, it's not worth it. I'm just going to stay here. And so these kind of things are what I was listening to in bringing this forward. And so at that point, it was my recommendation. This is blank, but my recommendation when I was talking to staff was for the 5:30 hour, so that the staff went literally from their day job to the job that they don't get paid for, and then therefore they don't have to wait around for that extra hour and a half to start. And of course, then they would get home an hour and a half earlier too, just as the rest of us would. So that was the rationale behind that. With that, I'll open it up for discussion. Ms. Klein.
You know, I don't have a problem with changing the time for the reasons that you've stated. And I know that over the years we've talked about this, but again, it came up, you know, well, those that are working, you know, if they work out of town, will they have enough time to, you know, drive and make it, you know, to the meeting on time? Or those that want to participate, if they work in Sierra Vista, don't get out until 5, you know, then they don't have enough time. So, I mean, we're always going to have that argument, mm-hmm. and it is a valid argument. And, it's okay with my schedule, my work schedule. I don't know about Mr. Lindstrom with his schedule. I mean, and I know you're
I think
your
we're
own
gonna
boss,
find
so
out.
You can, you know, kind of come and go as you.
I'm sorry, you said what?
I said because you're your own boss, you can kind of, you know, make your own schedule there. So.
Yes, sure. I can. But it's a terrible person to work for. Ms. Hampton, did you have any comments?
No, I think that it makes sense to move, change the times and make it easier for the staff to...
Mr. Higgins? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I
didn't mean to ignore you. Mr. Higgins.
You know, for the committee meetings, you know, I think it's a great idea, you know, to have them at 5:30. You know, I'm a little reluctant about the council meeting itself because, like Anna points out, some of the people that live in Sierra Vista, if they get off work 5:15, it'd make it hard for them to get here, I believe, by 5:30. And you know, if we sort of compromised on that and had the council meeting say at 6, and all the rest of them at 5:30, but the council meeting itself at 6, that might make it a little easier to do that. I'd like to see this room full as much as possible. So, you know, I'd like to get people over here. So that would give them a little more time, and I know it'd be an inconvenience a little more for the staff, but it'd just be 30 more minutes. So that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Okay, Mr. Lindstrom.
Well, I can see it both ways, and it's selfish of me to say no, but I can't do it that way. So. I mean, I would be pushing it because I work a non-traditional schedule, and I work out of town, so it'd be pushing it for me.
Okay. What would be pushing it? His idea or the 5:30 idea?
The 5:30 would definitely be pushing it. But again, that's just me. But I can see it the other way too. You know,
sure.
I can see how it would benefit.
You are able to make it 6 o'clock?
It'll be pushing it.
Well, 5:30 is pushing it. Well. Well, 6 isn't pushing it quite as much, then?
I mean, every half hour later is better for me. So, I mean, there may be times at 6 where I can't make it. I mean, there may be times that I can. I mean, I don't have a set time when I leave work and when I, you know, I hope to be out by 5:30, and I work in medical, and
yes.
If something happens, and I can't leave, and it's, you know, it's right at that time of, you know,
You had mentioned, you and I had talked, and so I'm not trying to... You had mentioned the potential of down the road going to 4:10s.
Yeah, which would mean...
What would those hours be? When would you get off on those hours?
5:30 to 6.
Still the same, though?
No, now I get off earlier.
Oh, I see.
Now I'm off by 4.
I see.
So now it'd be fine, but my schedule's going to change down the line. But again, you know, whatever's better for the city, if that's what's better for the city, then that's what's better for the city. I mean...
Thanks, sir. Any other comments?
Well, I would have a concern if we have a council member that's not going to be able to make it at an earlier time. And it's pushing because, I mean, that's he's part of the council. And I wouldn't feel right in changing it and putting you in that position.
But I would also feel bad not changing it just because of me. So.
Well, but you are part of the council. And, you know, we're setting you up for failure there if you can't make the meetings.
Well, it's an easy vote for me, so whatever you guys want to do, I won't vote against you. But
so, as I understand, you're looking at January to.
Yeah, I'm currently the only medical provider where I'm at. We're getting another one, and then when we get the other one, just schedules will change. So.
And when that schedule changes, then we'll know
maybe? Most likely, 6 o'clock is pushing it. It'll be straight from work, if I'm out on time, directly here, which is even, it's about a 30-minute. I work at the prison,
yes.
So it's about a 30-minute
right.
commute either way. So even getting out at 5:30, you know, it's pushing it.
Okay.
But I would most likely be able to attend a lot of the meetings. But I would also miss a lot of the meetings.
Could I suggest tabling this until...
You don't need to suggest it. Would you like...
What I would like to table, yes.
Okay, then please do.
You know, I just...
Please make a motion.
Just trying to be nice. I move that we table this until Council Member Lindstrom has a firm idea of what his schedule is going to be and whether or not it interfered with it.
Second.
it's too late for me to comment because it's been there's motion
session. You may comment.
Could we change the committee meetings to 5:30 and
be a second.
And oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
You can separate the question. Would you entertain separating the question?
I move that we table the changing of the council meeting time until Council Member Lindstrom has a firm idea of what his schedule is going to be.
Second. Just a second.
Yes, second.
All right.
Okay.
Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carried, 6-0. All right. The second. Now.
Mayor, if I may comment.
Yes, please.
Since you don't have a firm date as to when you'll know what your schedule is in January?
I have a fairly good idea that it's going to be mid-January for schedule change.
Okay. The only reason I bring that up is if you don't set a hearing date today to address the issue, then we'll have to renotice it on the agenda. Oh, okay. Okay. Just to let you know.
I'd like to amend that to the second meeting in January to be looked at again.
That's the 17th.
The 17th of January.
I'll just make sure I'm there.
Well, I meant. Do you think
you'll
have
you know by that date? Will you know by that date?
I can't tell you that.
Why don't you make February?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I mean, most likely 6 o'clock is pushing it for me, and it's not a good idea. I mean, that's going to be the reality of it. I mean, realistically, 6 o'clock is a definitely nay for me. So, I mean, you guys do what you're going to do, but that's how it is. So it's not really waiting because that's 99.9%. 6 o'clock does not work for me.
I withdraw my motion.
But again, the best interest of the city.
We got the point.
Yeah.
We still need a motion to separate the question because one is going to die for lack of a motion.
Okay.
The second part will be brought forward as a motion. I move that we separate the questions. Do we have it?
I second.
All right. Those in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion carried 6-0. Now, Bill, do you have a motion? I'm sorry, Mr. Higgins, do you have a motion?
I move that. Wait a minute. I got confused here.
Oh, I'm sorry. This would be your motion about committees.
I move that move the committee meeting time to
and commissions.
The commissions and committee meetings to 5:30.
I second.
Do we have discussion? Okay. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
I mean, I'd prefer 7.
For
it's just the
committee. Okay.
Oh, I'm confused. I thought we were voting on. Okay. Aye. Confused. So we're just saying changing the time.
We're changing the time for committees and commissions.
But not for the council.
But not for the council. Yeah. Okay. Are we in line for everybody understands?
Yes. So we're actually changing the times for 5:30. Or just
for commissions and.
I get that. Nay. I prefer 7. I mean, I'm outnumbered,
okay.
But I can still vote nay, right?
Motion is carries 5-1. City Manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. The Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is going to have a multi-chamber mixer at the Royale on December the 29th from 6 to 10 p.m. They're going to have food, music, door prizes, a DJ. I want to thank Jen for bringing the Tucson Chamber of Commerce here, the Douglas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Nogales Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the Sierra Vista Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, in addition to the Tucson Chamber of Commerce, will be here. This will be their first ever in Bisbee, and they've committed to do 4 over the next year.
Right, and is that possible that we can have that noticed, please? Because I would encourage the council and certainly our staff and everybody here to attend, but certainly encourage the council to attend. I spoke with them this weekend, and it's going to be a good event, and it's something that's going to be very beneficial to Bisbee. There's some potential down the road of actually Bisbee having a branch of the Hispanic Chamber also, mm-hmm. and doing more work with Cananea and NACO. So it's going to be a great event. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. That's it.
That's it. Ms. Bryan?
Okay. I have a couple of, before I get to mine, from our Bisbee Firefighters Local 2146. They would like to thank you all for your support this year. In Bisbee tradition, we came down to the wire, but the hard work and dedication of our community and your firefighters made this another successful year. Over 100 families will be receiving food boxes and or toys. As always, we appreciate your support and well wishes, and have a safe and happy holiday season. And then they also had their Christmas party and awards Sunday night, the 18th. And this year's award winners are Firefighter of the Year is Firefighter Paramedic Nick Rivera. EMS of the Year is Firefighter Paramedic Mike Shamus. Union Member of the Year is Firefighter EMT Kevin Pacheco. And Officer of the Year is Lieutenant Mark Perez. Congratulations to this year's winners on a job well done. Then they finish with their announcement as we approach the end of the year, we would like to take this time to thank each and every one of you for the love and support you have shown us and the community we are privileged to serve. One of the greatest accomplishments one can achieve in life is community service and giving back to those in need. That principle is the cornerstone for your firefighters, and we will continue to provide the very best customer service we can. In closing, from our family to yours, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a safe, happy, and prosperous New Year. So that was from the firefighters, and this one is from me. I would also like to thank each and every city employee for all your hard work day in and day out, as you are the backbone of operations that keep the city moving forward. Know that you are all valued and appreciated. I wish all happy holidays and a very safe new year.
Thank you, Ms. Klein. And I'd like to wish all of our bosses Merry Christmas and a great holiday season. And thank you, and we'll see you here next year. Thanks so much. Do we have a motion?
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried, 6-0. We are adjourned.
You're doing good.